Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes!
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
Right, Chris.
All right there. All right, the back. How the devil are you? Welcome along. Can you believe it's back already? What were you doing on the 9th of January last year? I think a few thousand of you were probably at Stoke City watching us win 4-0, having no idea where that was going to lead to. This is Leicester Till I Die TV. Catch us on YouTube Live, Twitter and Facebook, and your favourite podcast platform. And thank you for listening, if that is what you enjoy.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
A year ago, give or take a couple of days, Leicester City travelled to Stoke and got a 4-0 win. I think what was more surprising was the fact that Perez got a goal. Maybe that's his forte, scoring when we play in championship clubs. I don't know. But even Fofana got a goal. Do you remember Fofana? He's the guy that we've got a defender that we haven't been able to play for months because of some dirty Spaniard. Oh, my therapist says it's good to talk. This is a show.
It's the Premier League Preview Show with Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter.
Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yeah, it's not actually Craig, but standing in for Craig is the immensely handsome and rugged and good-looking Josh with his ever-so-manly mug. Good evening, Josh. How the devil are you?
I don't know about handsome, mate, especially after Christmas. I feel like I've put on about 2 stones, so it's catching up with me now.
If it's only 2, then you've not done bad. I dread to think what I've put on. But I've got it all here ready. Look, here we go. Hey, I've got the flag. I've got the hat on. I've got the... 12 months ago. And what was it you said before we started? All that exciting to look at, just getting knocked out in the first round by Watford.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, get beat by Watford.
I mean, I love your optimism, but this is who we are playing. It is. I mean... We could have got a worse draw. We're at home. There are worse draws, but this is something that we've never in my lifetime, really. I mean, yes, I suppose we've done it with the League Cup, but if we're totally honest with you, it's not the same. We're defending holders of the FA Cup, and I still have to pinch myself a little bit to when I say that.
Is it strange? It's like you say, you know, the Stoke game, which is what nearly well over a year ago now. It's it only seems like yesterday, to be honest with you. And then you think, you know, the run we went on to obviously go on and lift the trophy. It's mental, and like you say, you know, for being sort of defending champions of the FA Cup, it is it's really strange to say, but it's lovely to say it.
it is, and I'm not going to say that over the past few years that this club's made me cry on a few occasions, and when we lifted the trophy, when the final whistle went, that I was with my son watching it, and he was talking to him, and I turned away so that he couldn't see me crying, but I had to turn around to sort of answer him, and he was crying as well. I mean, we've had some fantastic memories, but it was different times last year. Of course, we were flying high.
Yeah, I think we've said many times as well, mate, this season's been a really strange one. Again, as you know, as today it's come out as well, we've been plagued by injuries, and it's not really out. We've just been really inconsistent this season. But, you know, as I say, I joked earlier about going out to Watford tomorrow, you know, a nice cup run, you know, could just totally sort of not make you forget about the season, because again, it's just been one of them where it's not really been neither here nor there, you know. You look at the place in the league, and I think we're only so like 6 points off top five, top six, something like that. So everything can change. So yeah, it'd be nice to go on another cup run, and like you say, hopefully put up a good fight defending the trophy anyway if we can.
You just know it's going to be Premier League clubs all the way when we get it. But I mean, it is a funny season, like you say. And I think we're so tantalizingly close to things because even though we're not performing, but then nobody else, when you get past Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool, nobody's performing, nobody's fighting to get ahead, nobody seems to want to get that fourth position, and anybody can beat anybody. But I think if we were in this position with a fully fit squad, then it would be completely different. I think, you know, we would have a right to moan. But, you know, we moan about Brendan, and we're football fans. But at the end of the day, you know, he's had a lot to put up with this year, hasn't he?
He has. And you know what? I think you raise a good point there. I think it's probably only the last few weeks, really, where, you know, I think we've all been critical of Brendan this season with some of the decisions he's made and subs in game and some of the tactics he's set up for us against, you know, against teams. But I probably just realised now that, like you say, you know, I think today's a prime example of he's really up against it. You know, he's had players out, you know, obviously everybody's suffering with the COVID situation at the minute. So that's, you know, that sort of is what it is. But, you know, we've had a few games postponed now as well. So it's on top of that, you know, we've got the Conference League coming up, and it's just a lot of football to get in. And obviously with the amount of players we've got out, I think, you know, like I say, we all know league wise we could be doing better. But as you say, and you raise a really good point, apart from, like, you know, you say your Man City's, your Liverpool's and your Chelsea's, really, nobody's really been that consistent this season. Nobody's put together a long, good, consistent run of wins and sort of pulling away from the chasing pack, so to speak. So that's why I think, you know, there's every chance we can still be up there come the end of the season.
There is. Maybe, you know, I'm holding out the hope that this is the season we do it the other way round. We come from behind rather than be up front and lose it. But, you know, we have had some funny results. And like I say, you know, it's Brendan trying to balance the books sometimes with his subs and what have you and keep everybody fit, which is hard. But we've took the defending, and most likely they're going to be the new champions as well, to, you know, we gave them a right scare, 4-0 down, and most teams would have, we came out and, you know, the fans admit that they were really scared. We beat Liverpool with a depleted squad, and when they've got, you know, the best players in there, I think we've just got to accept, I don't think we're going to get relegated. You know, there are definitely three, probably four or five teams that are definitely worse than us. But I think we're not going to be in that position. And like you say, sometimes you just got to take a season when you go, yeah, okay, you know, this is the one we have to sit back. We'll just win the conference and get into the Europa League that way.
There you go. It's as easy as that.
Yeah, it's just easy. We're not going to lose to Randers. Who's Randers?
Put the kiss of death on it there.
I'm going to ask you, before we get on to Watford, I'm going to ask you now, because had we... It was a funny group. We finally probably got the group we've managed to avoid for the last couple of times in Europe last season, and then also the Champions League one. We've had reasonably easy groups. But had we managed to just sneak through, we would have got Barcelona.
Yeah.
Now, I know Barcelona, they're not playing the best at the moment, but with the squad we've got, I wouldn't have felt confident about beating them. So we'd have probably had two more games. But we've not. We've dropped down to the conference. Yes, we've got Randers. And again, switching on his head, we could lose. But you would hope we would go through and therefore have a longer run in Europe. Would you have sooner got through and played Barcelona, or have gone into the conference as we have done and played, you know, played possibly more games, which is what I prefer to do, to be honest with you?
I think so. At the time, I remember coming on the show after the last Napoli game when we did actually go out, and I think at the time it was straight after full time, so it was all still a bit raw. And
yes,
at the time I was sort of saying about, you know, I didn't really want to be in the Conference League, but you know, you look at it now and you think, you know, in 10, 20 years' time, you know, the Conference, it's going to be a competition that grows and grows, and it's a good opportunity for teams like us. You know, we all like to think that Leicester, we're the biggest club in the world, but yeah, it's a competition that, you know, really, and, you know, realistically, we've got a good chance of winning it. And, you know, to be the inaugural first winners of the competition ever, again, you know, what a chance to make history, more history for us. So I think in the long run, we deserve to go out of the Europa League anyway. We were nowhere near good enough. Having said that, the way we've been this season, you just can't call what Leicester's going to turn up. It wouldn't surprise me if we went to Barcelona and they come to us and we turned them over. That's just the way it's gone for us this season. So
it has. I mean, that's Leicester in a nutshell, isn't it? Really, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, I was on a show the other week, and it was hosted by an Arsenal fan, and I still can't get over the mentality of Arsenal fans that they don't want to be in the conference. You know, they'd sooner finish eighth and not have to worry about the conference league, because basically it's below them, I think, is, you know, and I know we've got Anthony as an Arsenal fan here, and it wasn't Anthony, but I don't get that. It's below us, but it's a European trophy. And if you win it, it's another gap you filled in the trophy cabinet.
Exactly. And I can see where you're coming from, definitely. And I think, you know, for a team like Arsenal now, that I think this is their first season, that they've had without European football for quite a long time. And, you know, let's not kid ourselves, Arsenal, they are a massive club, and they've got really good history, and they've got good history, you know, with consecutively being in the Champions League, being top four. I know, you know, the last few years, it's not really gone that way for them. But I think the thing is, obviously, with Arsenal fans, and it's no fault of their own, that they are used to a certain level of success. You know, they're used to the likes of playing, you know, your Bayern Munichs, your Barcelonas, and people like that. So I could sort of see where they're coming from. But at the end of the day, you know, the situation there, I know, you know, they've been pretty good this season. I've been impressed with them. You know, they're pushing our top four. But I suppose when you're not in Europe at all, you know, beggars can't be choosers, really, can they?
Well, this is it. And I mean, Tottenham treated it with some disdain as well. But hopefully Anthony, the Arsenal fan, has gone, because I don't want him ever quoting me on this. But I kind of know, and it's that immediate post-match feeling, but I kind of know where some of these fans of these clubs are coming from, because we finished fifth the last two seasons. We've won the FA Cup. You know, we've won the English Super Cup, #Community Shield. But it is the English Super Cup. I don't care what anybody says.
I heard you call it that on a show. I think it was last week or something, and that's what I've started calling it. So
if you were in Spain, it was. And when you know, that's good enough for me. And then this season, I'm thinking, why aren't we up there? We should be up there. But we've no God-given right to be. So I kind of, I do get it in a way. I'm willing to accept it a bit more. But I'd be quite happy to win the conference, you know. Apparently, Scott, just to digress slightly, Mike Ashley's to buy Derby, apparently.
God,
that's
help
a shame
him.
For them. Yes, exactly.
God help him.
Put this to you, Josh, and we'll get onto the game in a second, but Anthony, who is obviously still here, the Arsenal fan, don't you dare clip that, Anthony. Don't you dare clip what I just said. Do Leicester fans want FA Cup or to do better in the league?
It's a bit of an easy one for me to say after last season's success in the FA Cup. You know, I think we can all sort of die happy knowing that we've won it in our lifetime, you know, and it was always one of them, the one trophy that sort of seemed to English domestic cup anyway, that's always evaded us. So if you'd asked me the question last year, I think I remember at the time saying, you know, let's go all out for the cup. It's a trophy at the end of the day. You know, they are memories that you're always going to remember years and years down the line. You know, you're not going to remember us finishing fourth or fifth. But this season for me, I think I'd like to see us push on more in the league. I think we can still get, it may sound ridiculous, but I still think we can still challenge for that top four place, purely because, like I said, all it takes is a good run of games, a good few wins, and you're right up there. So for me this season, probably do better in the league, purely because we won it last season. You know, obviously to win it twice on the bounce would be absolutely amazing, and you know, it'd feel just as good as the first time. But yeah, for me this season, I think doing better in the league would suit me better.
To win two on a bounce would be absolutely amazing. Unlike Chelsea, of course, who just lost two on the bounce, but then again, they did win the Champions League, so we'll give them that. But Anthony, I've got to agree with Josh, and it's funny, isn't it? Like last season, FA Cup. I mean, like I say, how much it meant to me. I was crying when we won it, and I turned around, and my son, and he's not lived through it. I mean, I can remember one of the first games was the 69 FA Cup that we lost, and it meant so much when we've done it. So it's a case of, you know, if we win it again, we win it again now. It's kind of sounding like an Arsenal fan, aren't I? I mean, we've got, to me, I want to win something in Europe now before I pass on this mortal coil. Because, you know, 14 clubs, only 14 clubs, have won all four trophies in English domestic football. That's the Premier League or stroke First Division, FA Cup, League Cup, and the Community stroke Super Cup. Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Anthony, Man City, Chelsea, Spurs, Villa, Wolves, Blackburn Rovers, believe it or not, Sheffield Wednesday, Nottingham Forest, oh God, West Bromwich Albion, Leeds, and little old Leicester. So we're up there with some good company, aren't we? 14, only 14 clubs got a clean sweep, and we're one of them. But the game, let's go, because we have got a little matter of Mr. Claudio coming back, and it won't be, he's already been back, so I think we've probably got that out of our system now, hopefully. It is on Saturday at 3 o'clock. A Saturday 3 o'clock game, my God, I've forgotten what they're like. At the King Power, excuse me. It's not on television anywhere at all, so you can pick up on lcfcradio.com and BBC Radio Leicester. Say the lcfcradio.com is through the website, and you can pick that up all over the world. Radio Leicester, you have to be in the county. But this has come out today. Leicester City could be down to 8 outfield players as injury nightmare worsens. I mean, have you got your boots, Josh?
You know what? I was going to say, me and my wife are actually going down tomorrow. So I might actually take my boots and my shinnies, pair of goalie gloves, and I might, the way I put on weight over Christmas, I might go in goal and just sit there and fill it for them. It's
like, you like that keeper like the season that has the pies.
That's it, But yeah, going on to your point, mate, it's, and you were saying it beforehand, it's scary, really, how many injuries we've got. It's something I don't know. I spoke to somebody about it at work today, and they were saying it was sort of pointed down to, you know, could it be down to even little things like, you know, the new training facility and things like that. And I just thought, no, it can't really be stuff like that. But it only seems like, I mean, it's not a conspiracy theory at all, but it only really seems like we've really struggled for injuries since the physio Dave Rennie left.
Yes.
You know, whereas before we were getting, you know, two or three injuries here and there, which is, you know, that's it's sort of standard in football, isn't it? You know, you're not going to have everybody fit every week of the season, apart from when we won the league and we were extremely lucky to not really get any serious injuries then. But
yeah,
the numbers, and it's mental. It really is. And I can't quite put my finger on where it's all going wrong. You know, whether it's a case of rushing players back, but I don't really feel like, Brendan really rushed anybody back, if I'm being honest with you. Yeah, that's the thing. He actually doesn't. So I don't know. It's just like, it's a story of the season. I don't really like to emphasise it too much, because then you feel like you're coming out of excuses. But, you know, you hear it on the radio, you know, TalkSport going about, oh, you know, Liverpool's injuries and stuff like that. And you think, God, we've got like, when you put it like that, we've got like eight fit first teamers to play tomorrow. It's unbelievable, really. It really is.
I mean, that Premier League season when we won it, and Facebook user, not sure who you are, you've not put your name, but I'm trying to forget Osden Duaby Bauer, whatever he was, that the Wickham got on CFAX.
Roy Isando, his name was. Roy Isando.
That was it. That's easy for you to say. But, yeah, I do know what you mean. Maybe we have to go down that thing. Andrew says here, apparently a lot of it is down to Brendan's training regime. I mean, I could understand that, and I thought that at the time, because like you said, Dave Rennie's gone, we've got all these injuries, and so much of it is not on-pitch injuries.
Mm.
But is it down to Brendan? Is it the fact that we got rid of Rennie? So we had that Cairo room, whatever, that freezing room that people were in. But a lot of our players, I mean, like Jamie Vardy now, he wouldn't normally be out for as long as he has been this season, on and off. Mm. But he's older, his injuries are taking longer. But other clubs are just as bad as us, and I think that's the problem. But Brendan's not one for rushing players back. You know, look at Maddison. He was getting, you know, 15 minutes here, then 25, then 45 for a half. I don't think he rushes them back at all, but it is. I mean, just reading today, Luke Thomas and Boubacari Soumaré are the latest players to be ruled out, while there are doubts over Timothy Castagne and Kieran Dewsbury-Hall. Who are we going to play? The only outfield players who are fit and definitely available are, and I never thought I'd say this, the only centre-back we've got is Yannick Vestergaard, Hamza Chowdhury. He has done all right for us. Yuri Tillemans, thank God. James Maddison, Harvey Barnes, so he's back. Mark Albrighton, Ademola Lookman, and everybody's favourite, Oyoze Perez. Perez, if you're looking, Mr. Perez, here's a challenge. This is your moment. Yeah. Everybody has their 5 minutes of fame. This is you. You could be up front. You're the only recognised striker we've got. I mean, Daka's injured, but I think, is it Zimbabwe? Who does he play for? He plays for Zambia, doesn't he? Yeah. Zimbabwe might not be able to make it. So Zambia said they'll stand in, so they might be calling him over as well for the AFCON. But Mr. Perez, get out there, score 3 or 4, and we'll love you. You know, you stood up to the mark. But Jamie Vardy is out for 8 weeks, or Johnny Evans is out for 8 weeks. I think Jamie Vardy's 7 or 8. I mean, God. And the thing is with Brendan, he didn't have this trouble when he was at Liverpool, which makes me question whether it's him or not.
Mm. Again, it's hard to really put your finger on where it's all sort of going wrong, injury-wise, for us. I mean,
Scott's got a good point here, though, Josh. We are playing more games.
Yeah. Mm. It could be. And I suppose, you know, you look at the sort of players we brought in the summer to sort of, you know, add more depth to the squad. And unfortunately, you know, that hasn't really worked out for us because more players have got injured. So it's, I mean, it's like you say, you know, calling the team for tomorrow, it's just the toss of the coin. It's all up in the air. Anybody could get a game, you know, Steve Walsh could get a recall, Neil Lennon. And Andy Impey on the right wing.
Gary Lineker, come on, mate. Get your to the matches. Get your boots on.
Yeah, that's it. It'll be strange tomorrow. It will be.
That said, and, you know, Scott said there, you know, we've got a damn good youth system. You know, that we can see that from, well, Ben Chilwell obviously came through it. But, you know, we've got Kieran Dewsbury-Hall. We've got Luke Thomas. In a way, I'm almost quite grateful, and I am beginning to sound now probably like some of the teams that fans I used to hate. But I'm actually glad we've only got Watford. I mean, you know, they're 17th and in free fall. I mean, changing. I mean, I love Claudio to bits, but he proved at Fulham he's not a manager for a relegation battle, and they're a lot worse off now than they were when he took over. But we're 10th. We should be beating them, and we did quite easily before, obviously, but I suppose that's the only saving grace. A, we're at home, and B, you know, I'd be dreading to go out and be playing a sort of a Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City on Saturday tomorrow.
You sort of look at it as well as if to think like it's a good job it is a cup game and not a league game nobody wants injuries, but if injuries are going to come, like you say, you know, obviously Evans and Vardy, they're going to be out for quite a while. And obviously with the players we've got missing, you'd sort of hope that, you know, I think we've got Everton coming up on Tuesday as well. But it's never ideal time to get injuries. But, you know, third round of the FA Cup, it's, you know, no matter what people say, Watford, I don't think they ain't a bad team, to be honest. And they have got some dangerous players, you know, the likes of Emmanuel Dennis. I don't think he's playing tomorrow. I think he's out. You know, they've got, you know, Josh King, Moussa Sissoko. They have got some decent players. So it's going to be one of them where I could see, you know, fielding a, obviously no choice but to field a weakened team now. And it's one of them where you think, well, you know, if Watford do go on to beat us, it's, well, you know, sort of not what did you expect, but it's just literally we've got to play the hand we dealt, unfortunately. But it is a strange one, and I think had we gone into tomorrow with a full strength team, then I'd be a lot more confident. But I think now, you know, with the news of the injuries we've got, it's up in the air for me. It's just tomorrow's result is just literally a toss of the coin. Can it get to penalties as well? Does it go straight to penalties? I believe
there's no replays.
Yeah.
I don't know. But no, Scott says there that you'll want Akinbaye. I'll tell you what, I'd even take Akinbaye back at this stage, you know. But do you know, and Joachim, I think he's still playing somewhere. But do you know what? And I'm going to be probably controversial here. If we've only got 8 outfield players, why aren't we asking for the game to be postponed?
I think it's one of them as well where, was it the FA or I read something, was it yesterday or I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, where they've said that regardless, because they don't want to postpone any more games, they're saying that even if you have to field a team of under 23s, then you've got to fulfil the fixture, which, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's sort of fair enough, because you look at last season, Aston Villa had to do it against Liverpool when they had, you know, they were decimated with injuries. Liverpool had to do it against Aston Villa. Fielded a youth team because they had no choice. So it's sort of, I suppose, what's good for the goose and all that. It's for me, I don't really want to see any more games postponed if, I mean, COVID-related, that's something totally different. You know, that's just the way of the world at the minute. And, you know, postponements are going to happen with that, unfortunately. But with injuries, I'd sooner just get the game on tomorrow. If we have to play a team of, you know, 11 under-23s, then just do it. Just get the game over and done with. And, you know, what will be, will be.
I get that. And the other thing, I suppose, is if we weren't playing this many games, it would mean we wouldn't be as successful. as we are. And, you know, if we're back down in the Championship, I mean, virtually every other week it's Thursday midweek games as well as weekend games.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we exactly
like you say, you hope that, I mean, because, you know, I think a lot of these players as well, they're not really used to, especially, like, you know, from last season, first season back in Europe since the Champions League run. A lot of the players ain't really used to playing, you know, like you say, Thursday, Sunday, you know, and so on. So, we've got a fairly young team as well. So, I think it'd take quite a few years of consistent seasons like that for them to really catch up and get used to it. But, yeah, like I say, mate, I'd sooner just get the game on and get over and done with and see what happens.
Yeah, and at least we can, I mean, I know the Everton-Tottenham games are coming quite quickly, but at least we can get rid of them in January. And, you know, when there's, in February, of course, we start in the conference.
But yeah, exactly.
The form guide, and yes, I know it's the Watford on the left when we're at home, but it was the only graphic I could find. But going into the game tomorrow, and I know this is league form and it's FA Cup form, five, you know, they've lost five on the trot, and I think it's six because I think they lost to us just before that. But I think if you look at our side, that definitely sums up our season. You know, draw, lose, win, you never know, like you say. And we've every time we do well, we seem to think like, oh, this is it. We've turned the, you know, there was the Man United game. That's it. We're going to kick on. Then there was the Watford game. That's it. We're going to kick on. Now there's a Liverpool game. Like, ooh, are we going to do it this time? You know, but it is a distraction, I suppose, from the league. And I don't know. I mean, whether I'm being unfair to Watford, thinking that we're going to, you know, it's going to be an easier game for us.
I think the thing is as well, like, I think their recent runs really, you know, if you to be fair, I mean, I know they lost one of the last games against Spurs, was it last weekend or whenever it was. If you'd have told me, you know, that they've lost the last six, you'd think, oh, great, you know, but you look at the teams they've played and they've had it really tricky, you know, like you say, you know, we beat them just before Chelsea, then, you know, to play Man City, Brentford away is really tough, you know, we found that this season when we only just beat them. And then, you know, West Ham are on a good run. Conte's got Spurs firing. So I don't really, them sort of results don't really shock me for Watford. And it's no disrespect to them at all, because they're the sort of games where you look at them on paper before their game's played and you sort of think, well, Chelsea, they're not going to get anything. Spurs, are not going to get anything. Man City, they're not going to get anything. And I suppose the only game that I'd have really looked at that and thought they may have got 3 points, was maybe Brentford away. But as I say, it's a tricky place to go. They play some really good football. So, that's why I said earlier, I don't really think Watford, I don't think they're as bad as their league form suggests. But I think, obviously, like you're saying, as you've seen, the last six games really ain't helped them because they have really been sucked into that relegation battle now. But again, against the likes of, you know, your Man Cities and stuff, you're not really going to get anything from them anyway.
No. I mean, Andrew says here, and I can see where he's coming from, are we willing letting Pratt go now? The problem is, as indeed Scott answers in there, and I agree with you, Scott, when everybody was fully fit, Pratt wasn't going to get into the first team. And that, you know, he wasn't going to get a starting, you know, berth. And he wanted to play. He's a Belgium international, and they're the best, you know, international team in the world at the moment. And so he wanted to go. So, yes, if we'd kept him, and I wanted to, because I really rated him, but then who do you drop for him? Tielemans? Madison? Do you know what I mean? Perez would obviously be a yes, but that's the problem. I would have loved to have kept him. I'm sounding like Brad, aren't I? I'm sorry, Mrs. Perez. But no, you know what I mean, though. It's I would have loved to have kept him, and he would have come into his own now. But, you know, he wanted game time.
It's hindsight, isn't it, mate? Hindsight's a wonderful thing. You know, if you could look into the future at the time, we let Pratt go and sort of think, you know, we're going to get all these injuries as a player we could ideally do with, then, of course, you know, it'd have made sense to have kept him. But as you say, Chris, at the time, it's... you weren't really going to drop anybody for him. As much as I really rate Pratt, I think on his day, and I think he does a good job for us. You know, he never does really anything spectacular, but he's never really done, he's never really had a really poor game for us. I think he just keeps things ticking over. So he's a player at the time where I'm disappointed that we let him go out on loan. But again, as you touched on, he's one of them players where you could understand him wanting to go because he is a Belgium international, you know, and I think he plays a lot of games for the Belgium national team as well. So he wanted first team football. So,
of course, yeah,
you can't really begrudge him wanting to leave, but it was just unfortunate for us really, because I do really like Pratt. I think he's a good player.
This is a voice from the past. Apparently Slimming World has just closed for the evening, so he's managed to get on the chat here. Mr. Lockwood, think we'll see Nelson tomorrow. Perez up front for me. Get the cake down, you Josh. I had to read that twice. I think it said Coke, but get the cake down, you Josh. We only live once. Apparently Lee was kicked out of Weight Watchers for being horrible and nasty, but apparently he accepted it with huge grace because she was kicked out as well. Boom, boom. That wasn't one of mine. Welcome along, Lee and Emma. I can't remember how the tune goes. Happy New Year, Lee and Emma, and your lovely children. I've got to say that I'm contractually obliged to be nice to him when I'm on camera. But Scummy Scott makes the point as well here. I've been all along, but as a Facebook... Oh, you were the Facebook user. You see. Hiding behind the anonymity of being a keyboard warrior, were we there, Lee? We know you. Couldn't get those big fingers into the keys, could you? That's what it was. But Scott says here, I mean, I think we've seen the end of Benkovic. Benkovic can't get in the team when, you know, we're in this situation. He's never going to play again. And
I genuinely think my 9-year-old daughter's got more chance of playing for Leicester than Benkovic has. And it's strange because Rodgers, you know, he took him to Celtic and he seemed to really rate him. He was playing a lot of games there. And I don't...
I suppose
at the end of the day, you know, Rodgers and the coaches see more of him in training than what we ever will. So they must know what they're doing. But if he can't get a game tomorrow with the injuries we've got, then you definitely know that he's never, ever going to play for us again, is he?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the ruling is, because he's obviously not in the under-23s technically, but he's not been included in our Premier League squad. So, but because of the situation, whether we'd be allowed to or not. But yeah, like you say, he obviously... And we've got to trust Brendan in this. He thinks he's okay for Scotland and not okay for England. I think it probably says more about Scotland than it does anything else. Andrew says here, and obviously the news today, that Coutinho has finally gone to Villa, so that will stop all the links with us that pop up every time. And to be honest with you, I don't think he would have been a good signing. I think he would have been, somebody that came in on a huge wage. All right, they may not be paying it all. Barcelona will be paying it, most of it, I believe. But he wouldn't have fitted into the Leicester ethic, you know, that band of brothers sort of thing. He'd be that huge fish in a small pond.
I couldn't agree more, mate. I think he's I do really rate him as a player. He's absolutely fantastic, and you know, the seasons that he had for Liverpool when they nearly won the league and you know, playing like that, he's brilliant. I think he'd be a really good player for Villa, but for us, he's like you said, I think he'd be, you know, it's sort of like when we were first linked with Yuri Tielemans, and he were a player that at the time I thought we'll never get him, but he's sort of come into and he's sort of bought into the ethos of the team.
Yeah.
And like I say, all working for each other. And I suppose it's no fault of Coutinho's at all, but you know, you look at some of the players, I guess, he's played with, you know, the likes of Barcelona and Liverpool and stuff, so you can sort of understand why he might be a bit more, not big-headed as such, but a bit more flash than the other lads. And he might not really put the effort in. But it's a fantastic signing for Villa. That is really good. And I think it's good to see him back in the Premier League as well.
It is. And I think this kind of sums up probably why we've not gone for him. And I think sometimes clubs are pressurised by fans that we've got to... It's a transfer window. we've got to make a signing. Remember Pochettino being absolutely lambasted one January window when he didn't make any signings. It's a bad window because everybody knows that if you're going on for somebody in January, then you're desperate. They up the money, and then you've got Newcastle sloshing the pounds around, so they're upping the money again. But when you know the headline says Brendan Rodgers opens up on Leicester City loan search for a central defender, kind of says it all, really. So I don't think we could have afforded him. I think, for me, when we bought Yannick Vestergaard, and I was happy at the time because it was a quick decision that we bought because we'd got the gap. But I think that took money out that we weren't planning on spending. And I think that's probably why we loaned Luckman rather than buying him.
Definitely, yeah. And like you say, the Fofana injury, obviously, we had to play that hand, didn't we? Like you say, I think it was money that, exactly that you say, you know, we didn't expect to pay out for a central defender. But it'd be interesting to see if we try and get in on loan because, like you know, today's news about all the injuries we've got, it's sort of forced us on now where we are going to have to bring in at least, you know, I mean, a centre-back's without question, that needs to happen. I can see trying to bring at least two or three players in on loan. As you say, I don't really think the money's there for us to sign anybody permanently. It might surprise us and we might sign somebody permanently, but I can see two or three loan deals hopefully getting done anyway.
I think there'll be a couple going out, but whether that's going to give us enough to buy anybody decent, who knows? And Scott, I take exception to that. I wouldn't, you know, Cameron Diaz, she'd be punching above her weight, mate, if she was waking up in bed with me, I tell you. Oh, sorry. She'd be punching me if she woke up in bed with me. That's what she'd be doing. My mind's gone now. I've gone off to off on all different tracks there, Scott. Andrew, sorry, you've made me... Yes. I tell you what, we'll take a quick break while I go and have a very, very quick rub down with the wet Daily Mail. Back after this.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last and are history makers at Wembley.
Leicester Till I Die TV, home of the FA Cup winners.
Always sounds good, that. I always brings a little bit of a dampness to my eyes. But, we have got the advantage over Watford. We've played them 13 times. This is Premier League games. Now, we've not played them in the FA Cup, but believe it or not, since 1982 in a fifth-round clash, and we won 2-0 at Filbert Street. And I don't know these things off the top of my head. I do have Google open here in case you're thinking I'm amazing stat man. On paper, you've got to say, on paper, it, you know, I said this earlier, and it's no disrespect to Watford, but we should be beating them. But I can say, I can just say it's, and I'm just hoping that the players that come in take that chance that they've been given.
Yeah. Definitely, it goes without saying. Really, I think there's certain players who have got a lot to prove. I.e., you touched on it earlier, Jose Perez. It's a game made for him, really. I don't think it's a game where we'll probably see him out on the right wing, where Brendan seems to shove him at not the best of times. It's a game where we'll probably most likely see him up front, which is, you could say, his preferred position, I guess. But I think, you know, obviously, with the injuries we've got, we're going to have to play a weakened team. I think Watford will make a lot of changes as well because they've got some important Premier League games coming up. And obviously, being in the relegation scrap, they need to pick up as many points as they can. So,
yeah,
it's going to be it'll be interesting come 2 o'clock tomorrow to see what teams we've both put out, to be honest with you. And I think... I wish I could give you my prediction then, because up until then I don't think I can.
You mean you've got to go out and you've got to choose the starting 11 in a minute? No, I wouldn't do that to you. I mean, that was the last time we played them early in the season. Amazing game. Started in sunshine, ended up in a force 9 snowy gale. 4-2. If you know, if we can play that way again, it would be. But I think we haven't got the players. I mean, you know, Scott says here, and I can't even put, not even going to attempt to pronounce his name. In a way, no disrespect. I hope some of these players don't make it because I can't pronounce them. I have trouble with Bertrand, you know. But I think yes, we could see a lot of youth players, and I just like we just said then, we let's hope they stand up. And Perez, he's not necessarily, you know, he's not known as an out and out striker, but bless whoever that was. But but when you look at who we've got, even I would put Perez on. He'd be the first name on that sheet because at least he does know where the goal is.
Definitely. And again, sort of, we've got no choice but to. And you know what? We're not really seeing much of Perez this season. And I know, you know, one of the panelists is delighted with that, Scott. Brad.
Scott getting the blame for everybody else today.
Yeah.
We love you, Scott.
From what we've seen of Perez this season, again, I don't really think you can judge him that much. When he's played, I don't think he's been that bad. He's not really stood out for us this season at all, obviously, because he's hardly played. I think as we say, tomorrow's it's a game that's it's made for him, really, because he's going to be, you know, on the pitch with the players that we're going to have to put out. He's going to be one of the senior players without doubt, and he's going to have to be the one that, you know, that's doing a lot of running and creating a lot of chances. So I think a lot of the players will be looking to him to sort of make things happen for us. So it's going to be a big game for him tomorrow. But having said that, Brendan might throw a complete spanner in the works and not even play him.
And I think, I mean, you know, he posts a lot on Instagram. He seems to be putting the work in training. And I think had he come, let's say, for a £10 million prize tag, we probably wouldn't, you know, be thinking this about him. But because he's got this £30 million tag on his head, Brendan's first signing, and we think of him as a striker. You know, and but he says he's not an out and out striker, and he doesn't get the goals, and therefore we think he's bad. And I think a lot of the time, we're not just Leicester fans alike, we love to pick on somebody, don't we? And unfortunately, when Chilwell went, you know, Perez, I think, got the short straw. But apparently, just to quote some of the things here, Watford have been eliminated in all three of their previous FA Cup ties with Leicester. Losing in, I said before, 82 in 1936. And Craig, if he's watching, will remember this, 1909. But here's a record we might get, and I think we don't want to get. Having won the FA Cup for the first time last season, Leicester come into this match as holders. It does sound good, that. In only one of the last nine seasons have the holders gone out in the third round, with Arsenal losing 4-2 away at Nottingham Forest. Sorry, Anthony, if you're still watching, but yes. I have a feeling there might be two on there, but this is... this is the thing. Since his debut in the FA Cup in January 16, Leicester's Kelechi Iheanacho has scored more FA Cup goals than any other player, 14.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't. And to think that sort of how many, although I've said that, the back end of last season, he was playing regularly. Andrew says here, £30 million is cheap compared to Man United, who played £80 million for a donkey. it's crazy. And if he has a good AFCON, I can see him coming back and knocking on Brendan's door saying, "Oi, you know, I want game time."
I think he should be doing that regardless, because last season without him, you know, when Vardy was sort of going through that dry spell and not scoring many goals, if it weren't for Nacho, we wouldn't have even stood a chance of fighting for the top four last season anyway. You know, he scored so many massive goals for us. You know, you look at it as in, you know, third goal against Man United in the FA Cup quarterfinals was it, and then, you know, the goal in the semi-final against Southampton, and he deserves a lot more game time than what he's had. For whatever reason, even, you know, when even last season when, you know, and we obviously went two up top with him and Vardy, and there were still times where you thought, I don't know if Brendan really rates Ian Ache. I mean, it's strange, it really is, because when he's in a purple patch, he'll score goals for fun, and he's not really had that chance this season. So if I were him now, and for what he did for us last season, and the success that he helped bring us more than anything, because he was really pivotal in that, I'd be knocking on Brendan's door now and saying, you know, I need more minutes, because he's one of them players where he could go elsewhere and he'll score goals for fun wherever he goes, and he's proved that when we've given him the chance.
Well, this and just to go back to what we said before, there's a lot you can't blame Brendan for this season, and you know, one of those is, you know, the fact that he hasn't had a lot of first team players. He hasn't been able to play. You know, he gets the winning team, then, you know, two or three of them go down with COVID or somebody gets an injury or what have you. But, you know, having done as well as they did last season, and he didn't want to play two up front, he had to kind of struggled on that because Maddison was injured, and he brought Iheanacho and Vardy together, and it was great to see. And I thought that's what we'd be seeing when we originally bought him. But as soon as he could, he dropped and went back to just the one. And that's what I don't get with Brendan, you know.
I guess, just touching on the Maddison injury last season, and, you know, I suppose Brendan had to sort of accommodate Iheanacho, you know, like you say, playing two up top, and as soon as Maddison comes back, you know, unfortunately it's Nacho that gets the chop. I do like to see us with two up top. I think it's a formation, and not a lot of teams play two up front. You know, you only got the likes of the Burnleys of the world that tend to do it, and it catches a lot of teams out, you know, when you've got two players up front, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, a lot of teams, and especially in the Premier League this season, in the Premier League nowadays, just play, you know, the one up front with the two wide wingers, you know, cutting inside and stuff. So I do like to see two up front for us, but again, it's like you say, it's just a case of, you know, obviously Maddison being out injured, he had no choice but to play Nacho up front, and as much as it worked, Maddison coming back, and, you know, especially the form he's in now, he's a player that you don't want to drop, so it's unfortunate, really.
A few years ago, we would have died for having these problems, wouldn't we?
When you think, you know, the likes of years ago, and like the Craig Levein years when we had Elvis Hammond and Mark De Vries fighting
Mark
it out.
Mark De Vries, my hero, mate. the only striker I've ever said that Leicester had that was worse than Aki Akinbaye. He became a hero when he scored that winning goal against Spurs in the FA Cup. But if you look at it, he actually scuffed it.
Yeah, he did.
I think if he'd hit it properly, it wouldn't have gone in. and Elvis Hammond, God, I couldn't wait for him to leave the building, I tell you. But taking me back now, making me shake. Right. Josh, thank you so much. I'm going to ask before you go. You know what I'm going to ask you. Give me a prediction.
I know I said I couldn't without knowing the team, but I'm going to go. I'll go 2-1 Leicester.
I'm going to go the same, to be honest with you, because, you know, the fact that we kept a clean sheet against Liverpool is still a miracle. It was a Christmas miracle. It really was, you know. Wolves on the opening day and Newcastle, who couldn't score in the proverbial ladies' house of ill repute. You kind of go, okay, they were the two that we've kept. But then to go out with the squad we had and keep a clean sheet at Liverpool, I just can't see us doing that again. And I think Watford will look at this and think, this is the time when... Yeah. We're playing Leicester at a good time. So I think they will get a goal, only because, you know, we're playing one at the back and it's Yannick Vestergaard. I think they will get a goal. But I just hope that the Foxy spirit, you know, the never say die spirit, you know, comes through, and the youngsters that get a chance go out, and it's at home, so they're going to have the crowd behind them. Let's just hope, you know, they do themselves proud. Definitely, I did say that was the last question, but this is going to be the last question. If we do lose, there's going to be the shouts probably of, oh, Brendan out, blah, blah, blah. But if we lose, I can't blame, you know, I can't blame when you look at the squad and the fact that, and I know everybody's lost players to AFCON, you know, Liverpool, Watford actually have lost more than any other team in the Premier League to AFCON. So, you know, you can't necessarily blame that. But if we lose, we've just got to put it down as the year that we're having at the moment.
Yeah, exactly, mate. And I think, again, and it seems to be the topic of conversation about the injuries today. But like you said, Chris, I think, you know, with a technically a second string team out, really, or majority of second team players, yeah, like, you know, reserve players, it's going to be a case, just go out there and just do what you can. And like you say, just, as long as you put the graft in and, you know, try and play good football, you know, the results will take care of itself. But it's, for me, it's a bit of a free hit for Brendan tomorrow now, I think, personally. You know, it's not going to be a game where, as long as we don't get absolutely smashed, it, you know, if it's a game where we lose, then it's going to be like, well, it's sort of, sadly, it is what it is. I don't think I'll be losing any sleep over it. But having said that, if we go on to lose 6 or 7-0 tomorrow, then I don't think I'll be getting any sleep at all, to be honest.
And we would be equaling Arsenal's long-held record of being the holders that go out in the third round. Yeah, talking of Arsenal fans, hello, Molina, how are you? Typical Arsenal, just coming good at the end. Where have you been for the last 89 minutes? Josh, I'm going to go. I've got another. If everybody's doing anything, at 9 o'clock, get over to Turf Moorhouse TV. And myself and the Ginger Minga in Dan, we are going to be doing a predict the score for the FA Cup. So it'll be interesting to see what he says about Leicester. But in the meantime, Josh, thank you so much for this. It's been a pleasure having you on again. And the pleasure must have been all yours.
always is, Chris. Always is.
And hopefully, if you're free, see you this time next week. But thanks very much. All the best to your good lady wife and your children. Take care of them and stay safe.
God bless you. Cheers, Chris. Look after yourself, mate. See you next week, pal.
And you will. Take care, mate. Bye bye.
It's all right, mate. Bye, pal.
Cheers. And don't forget your Mr. Leicester mug. Oh, he's gone. and he went. You say Mr. Leicester mug. I have to explain that he's quite a he's got the figure of a bouncer, let's say, sure. I wouldn't like to meet him down a dark alley at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, and he's quite muscly, he's covered in tattoos, and he's drinking a cup of tea. And I thought it was a Mr. Men mug. And I said it just did not go with the image at all. But then I've got to say, it was a Mr. Leicester Cup. So, yeah, I kind of forgive him on that. But this is it. It is. It's the Emirates FA Cup weekend. We go again. We go as holders, guys. Look, you know, get your flags out. If you're going down tomorrow, yeah, remind everybody, Molina, if you're still here, we won the FA Cup last season. Do you remember? Yay! Can we do it again? It's an excuse to play this.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last and are history makers at Wembley.
Leicester Till I Die TV, home of the FA Cup winners.
Oh, how much longer, though? Well, we've got until May. Let's hope we can drag it out a little bit and we don't embarrass ourselves. If you've been watching, thank you. Thank you so much. If you've been watching on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, get over to YouTube. Please, please give us a subscribe. We are, I think, about 9 off the 1,100. It'd be nice to get to the 1,100 this weekend. Give us a subscribe. It doesn't mean it's going to pop up every time. You only get that if you get the notifications. If you don't want that, don't press notifications. And if you are listening on Spotify to this on catch-up, 15,000 plays. I have to say it every time because I'm just totally shocked. 15,000 plays on Spotify. I've obviously got the face for radio. That's what it is. That's what you're trying to tell me, isn't it? We're going to be back tomorrow at approximately, blah, 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 he says, looking at his diary, at approximately 5:45, 6 o'clock time, when we'll be doing the post-match review with me and Brad, and hopefully we're talking about us still being in the FA Cup. But 9 o'clock tonight, like I say, if you've got nothing planned, get yourself a Bailey's, get your slippers on, sit down, turn the heating up, and watch me and the Ed Sheeran look-alike. And we might be singing the sausage roll song. Who knows, Scott? What we will be doing is predicting FA Cup scores. So that should be a laugh. So get over there to it's Turf Moorhouse TV. Get over there and give him all the support that you can. He deserves it. He's a great guy. Thanks for watching. Thanks also for listening on the podcast. And I'll see you in about 54 minutes. Bye now.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time. That's all, folks.
It is now.